Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Hello, Jenna. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Hey, this book looks very exciting.
I think I have to say it might be my favourite book of the year so far.
Wow. Big call, big call.
Yeah. So this is called The Nickel That's Boys huge. By Colson Whitehead. He is pretty well known for his book, The Underground Railroad, which won the Pulitzer Prize. I think it was in 2015 or 2016.
Right.
2016. I have it in my notes, actually. And he is back better than ever with The Nickel Boys. So this starts in 1962 in Tuscaloosa, Florida, and we have this beautiful main character called Elwood Curtis. He's so human, gentle. He's quite an idealized young boy. He's black. He's just got he just receives the LP of Martin Luther King at the Zion Hall.
Oh, cool.
At Zion Hill, and he is really studious, and he's just Martin Luther King's words carry him through his life. So he joins the civil rights movement. He's just a high school student, and then he receives a free early entry to college through. And he's surrounded by these amazing people that really support him. He has his parents have gone, but he has his grandmother, and he works at a little tobacco store. And his employer really looks after him. He has a teacher that looks after him and helps him get into this university. But it's the time of the Tallahassee bus boycotts,
right?
And he has a broken bike because he got in a scuffle with someone. And so on his first day of college, he hitchhikes, and what happens, he waits for the first black man to pick him up, and the car that he gets into is actually a stolen car. And so he gets arrested, and he goes to this reform school called the Nickel Academy. It's so sad.
Oh, and God. I feel like you've caught me already. I'm like, tell me more, what happens?
And so this is a reform school. It's based, Whitehead was inspired to write this after hearing about this quite famous school that's recently got shut down called the Dozier School for Boys.
I think that rings a bell, that? Actually, yeah.
So in, how long was it ago? They tried to sell the land, but then they found all these bones in all these graveyards. Mm. Maybe in 2013 they found 50 bodies.
And far out.
Last year they found 27 more.
Oh my God.
And so it was just like this horrible, horrible reform school, and people have come out and they called themselves the White House Boys. And there was this little house, a little room on the grounds that they were taken in and really severely beaten in. But it's a segregated school as well. So he Elwood, you know, he's very idealistic. He's like, this shit things happen, I can go and if I just keep my head down, I can get out of here. Mm. And I'll just study and I'll just do all the stuff. But, you know, it's not that easy. And this very hopeful character is placed in the dark world of violence and mistreatment of children. So, yeah, Whitehead felt he had this duty to write this story, and you really feel it. But also in the book you have Elwood as a young character and then as an older character,
right,
reflecting as what's happened.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, what a quite a good thing about when you start reading it is it opens in the prologue with it's about the bodies being dug up, so you know that these kind of people are going to find out what's happened.
Yeah. What I'm really interested in is how did he sort of, I guess, decide it was something he had to do? Why was it something he sort of felt like he needed to write this? Did he have connections with the school, or was it just something that he thought was an important story?
And the more that he studied and read about it and read the articles about it, he's never gone to visit the school grounds. He hasn't been able to bring himself to do it. It's so heartbreaking. It's just one of those stories that I was reading it one night, and then I read it past midnight, and I was just like, when I got to the ending, I was just like an electric shock, and it just made me, by the time you get to the end, the book that you've just read has completely changed.
Right.
And it's just so electrifying, and I couldn't sleep for about an hour afterwards because I was just like, oh my
buzzing.
God. The other day Obama just put this on his summer reads list.
Oh wow.
And
I love how Obama's like, here's my summer reads. Also, here's my Spotify playlist.
Yeah,
or something. All right, man of the people.
I know, he definitely is a man of the people. And it's just, It's just electrifying. But I was putting it off reading it because I'm just, as I get older, I'm just getting really wary of violence and and very sensitive to it. But it actually, while it describes really horrible stuff, it's not super, super detailed. Kind of like, you know, like A Little Life is too detailed.
Too much.
Where this is halfway there.
Okay, that's good, because I found A Little Life almost a bit much, just because I was like, actually, you know, this is really intense to read.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story. It's incredible writing. But this is not the same kind of, I guess, like, chaos reading it in the same way.
That's right. And it's only 210 pages or something. So it's there's no room for it to be that detailed. But he gives enough there that you can get an idea. So
it also has a gorgeous cover. Very good monochrome colour scheme going on here. Nice white border with a big red square and two little figures of the young boys on the front too.
The second figure is this his friend, Elwood's friend called Turner. And he's just in the background there, and he's had a lot rougher life, because a lot of these boys have had really rough lives. Mm. Turner becomes quite an important figure in the book.
I've got to say, you've hooked me.
Really?
Yep, sounds good.
That's a stellar review.
It's also, you read a lot of books, Jenna, obviously. And for this to be your call of the year so far, that's a big call.
Yeah. I was going to say, you probably could have come on here and been like, this is my book pick of the year so far, and left, and that would have been enough for me to be like, all right, I'll read it.
Yeah, it's so, I just like, I can't, I'm still like, I still have a hangover from it.
I've read a few books. I can see that you're still feeling a little bit like, ooh.
Yeah, it's so good. And you think of like, I actually couldn't watch us too much, but the Central Park Five, They See Us. Think of that kind of story. It's the type of story that will be studied in, this will be studied in schools.
Yeah.
That's the type of book it is.
Fantastic.
Someone said name of the book.
Oh, the book is called The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead.
Fantastic.
And you can get it at Time Out?
You get it at Time Out, published by Hachette, and it's $35. Come in with your B card and you'll get 10% off.
You've picked a song for us as well. What have you picked?
Oh, yes, I picked Sam Cooke's A Change Is Going to Come. I was just looking at songs from the Civil Rights Movement that came out around that time, so what Elwood would have been listening to while he was standing on the lines there, and so that the song's from 1964, so I thought it would be a good one. And this is a response to Blown in the Wind by Bob Dylan.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. And
run, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
That was Loose Reeds.